No Means No, ending up the set with Dark Ages. Here in the studio, Steve Martin from Agnostic Front. Why don't we give a listen to Anthem, and then we'll be talking with Steve here on Turmoil, Agnostic Front, live at CBGB's. Agnostic Front, recorded live at CBGB's. I'm with us here in the studio, Steve Martin, guitarist from Agnostic Front. How you doing, Steve?
Okay.
All right, let's get your mic up here. So, what's the band been up to lately? I hear you're going to be doing something with Anthem, in fact.
Yeah, that's about the most recent development in AF-related stuff. We shot a video last January for the track Anthem from Liberty and Justice and Live at CBGB Records. And George Seminara directed it. He's done a bunch of stuff, a bunch of big hip-hop stuff, actually, like Run DMC, Beastie Boys, also stuff like Motorhead, Violent Femmes, LL Cool J, a hell of a lot of like different stuff. And he's really into hardcore lately. He shot our video, and he's doing a couple other weird assorted things too. 24/7 Spies, another band on our label. He's doing the new Swans video. He's doing a bunch of stuff, and it came out really well. It's basically just live footage, nothing else. It's pretty well edited. It's pretty creative with what he had to do. It's a pretty hectic show, and it's supposed to be on MTV Headbangers Ball this weekend. So that's what we hear. So we're keeping our fingers crossed. They played a clip from it, but they're supposed to go for the whole thing this time. So we'll see what happens.
Headbangers Ball on MTV, although a metal show, once in a while does play some punk-related stuff. They had the Bad Brains on.
Yeah.
And, so you don't feel you're going to be stereotyped by being played on that type of program?
No, I don't think we're going to, but I really couldn't care less, you know. I mean, obviously we have an appeal to that kind of person as well, to the heavy metal crowd. I mean, it's the boundaries between the different kinds of music are so blurred nowadays. You see, you know, the bald guys jumping and the guys with long hair catching them when we play. I mean, it really doesn't make much of a difference. We draw like some of our best crowds at so-called metal clubs across the nation, like Cubby Bear in Chicago, Blondies in Detroit, a lot of like so-called metal theaters. I mean, even Sundance here on Long Island is considered primarily a metal club, and we do great there. I mean,
that's just a recent change from, say, the last 3 years or so, where you wouldn't see any of the metal people at the shows. And then
it was gradual, definitely.
It was a slow change. You'd see one or two of them at the shows being hassled or something like that.
Yeah.
But then they became accepted. And
well, that's how anything, if it's going to survive, anything like that has got to grow. I mean, I like it. I like the idea that, you know, a bunch of different groups of people who used to, like, you know, insult each other and hassle each other walking down the street can now get along. I mean, it goes in phases. I'd say right now the crossover is less happening than it was like a year and a half ago. But who knows? You never know if a record's going to come along and change that. New Leeway and Cro-Mags records are definitely, you know, very crossover oriented. They'll have an influence on it. Bands like Ludacris definitely do well like that, you know, do a lot of good stuff. You find with the best bands like that, it's just unintentional. It's just the way they feel like writing, and it's powerful, it's fast, it's loud. And people, you know, those two crowds, the hardcore crowd and the metal crowd, can both relate to it. So I think that's pretty cool.
So what's the band been up to lately? Roger's...
Well, you know, that's his business if he wants to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm not
going to
talk about it for him. Otherwise, you know, we've just been hanging out. Hopefully we'll be on tour by sometime this summer. Another thing to keep our fingers crossed about. We're supposed to go out. Us and Murphy's Law is coming along for the crazy ride. And we're going to be called New York's Finest Summer Tour. So we'll see what happens again. You know, we can't really guarantee it at this point. But probably around June, we should start seeing some dates materializing.
Do you get a little, like, stir-crazy? Because I'm sure as a musician, you want to get out and play. And
we're pretty, like, traditionally hard-working band. You know, we tour a lot as compared to some other bands that you could think of, like, at the same level or whatever you want to call it, same kind of bands. We like to tour a lot. That's, like, you know, how we survive, basically. But then again, like, just about everybody in the band has outside interest. You know, I work at our label. Craig has a moving job. Everyone's doing something on the side. Will is going to college right now in Staten Island. So it's not like we have no other life outside that.
Was the Live at CB's album released primarily just to let people know you're still around and still alive? And
that was part of it, because a lot of it, you know, we had problems with Combat, which sort of initiated the genesis of this new label. And that was a big part of it. We had to say, you know, we've got to get something out, and something significant, not just like another album, but something that's like more of an event. You know, you don't see a typical hardcore band putting out a live album. I mean, there are a few, but very few, and very few that mean anything. You know, usually it happens after the band's dead and gone, and they just got to dredge up more material to, like, you know, whatever, keep the fans collecting or whatever, keep the memory alive. But we just wanted to do something, plus something that has some things that you can't get in other places, like, you know, live versions of stuff from United Blood that we always play, the Pain song, rearranged versions of some stuff off Cause for Alarm. It sounds a lot stronger on the new album. So we definitely wanted to kick off the label with something special and do something a little different. Plus, we've been touring so much for Liberty and Justice, we really didn't concentrate as much on new material as we maybe should have.
How does it feel knowing that the show you're doing at that time is going to be recorded for posterity? Did you get a little nervous beforehand?
Yeah, it was sort of a pain in the ass knowing that we had to sort of stand still a little more than usual and, like, watch the feet and fists and flying bodies and stuff, like, make sure we didn't screw up or whatever. But we always had the option to overdub, but I really didn't feel comfortable with that so much as just knowing that if I get it right on the first take, it's that much more live. So, it really didn't bother me. What was scary, though, was when, you know, we said we were only letting the first 200 people in, because CB's is just, like, gets so ridiculously packed when we play there nowadays, you know. It's really hard to deal with. So we said we're letting the first 200 people in, and that's it. They get to be on the live album. It's like a privileged thing or whatever. I really didn't care what they did, but So they're supposed to do that. They ended up letting like 500-600 people in. The place was dripping. It was the middle of August, August 21st. They were having problems getting the tape rolling because of the humidity. And we got out there and we're all ready to go. Like, what song you want to, you know, open the live album with? And we hear this voice over the PA from the guy who was engineering at Norman. He was like, guys, can you wait a second? And that was pretty much of a downer then, but, you know. Eventually, like half an hour later, it got going.
Now, Agnostic Front, I don't know how to word this, so I don't offend you a little bit. You've got a big controversy that seems to follow you around for what reasons. I don't know why the controversy still follows you around. It's been, you know, I'm sure like Maximum Rock and Roll has something to do with it. Yeah. What, you know, the rumors that get started. How do you guys handle, you know, the rumors and things like that, being a skinhead band, being a racist band, or whatever like that? You know, do you let that really bother you? Do you, when you go into a town, you know, do you meet any resistance, or, you know, how's that work?
No, not usually, because, I mean, when we go to play a show, it's sort of, there's sort of like a buffer effect in that, you know, the people have come to see us usually don't start any problems. I mean, there have been problems, a couple places, like Milwaukee comes to mind in particular, where there were actual problems with us having to confront these people and say, look, you know, you got this wrong, and having to, like, straighten them out, and, you know, if they don't like us after that or whatever, fine, screw them, you know, who cares, but, you know, it's better just to confront it and say, this is the fact, you know, this is the fact of the matter, this is what we're about in black and white, rather than let a bunch of people go around spreading rumors and taking, like, secondhand guesses at what the band is about. You know, we didn't get into the band to start a political party or something. I just wanted to play some good, solid, powerful, hardcore music, let some aggressions out. I know it sounds cliched, but that's about what it's really about to the members of this band. I could care less about politics. They have politicians to deal with politics.
Okay. Now, the Live at CB's album is kicking off a new label called In Effect.
Yep.
Which you started, I guess.
Yeah, it was a thing of, like I was saying before, a dissatisfaction with, like, what happened with the last record that, you know, we felt should have been much more of a priority than it was. I mean, the staff was falling apart at Combat at the time. They got in new people too late, actually, for them to even do anything with our record. We were, like, working our asses off, like, independently of our label. It was like we had a distributor and not a label. And when things finally got back on their feet, you know, they start talking about, oh, we want to re-sign your band and do this and do that with you. But we're like, what have you done for us? But they, you know, they were calling us at our homes and stuff, telling us, you know, we're going to do something for you. We're going to start this new label, and it's less denominational, and you won't have that, like, thrash metal stigma that you were complaining about. And we thought about it, and, you know, at that point, we were ready to even to go into, like, legal battles just to get off, but it turned out that they met our whatever demands we had. I really don't think were unreasonable. You know, we just wanted to be treated like a priority project, you know, and they met our demands pretty much and put out the record, and that's how it started. Now there's a whole roster of bands on there.
Now, as you just said, there's a whole roster of bands. You didn't just start the label for Agnostic Front. You've seen a lot of good bands out there that you felt you had to release.
Yeah, there's, well, right, the current release is out right now is Agnostic Front Live at CBGB, the domestic version of the Prong album, Force Fed, the CD reissue of the Bad Brains original tape that was out on Roar, which we've retitled and repackaged, and it's called Attitude, the Roar Sessions. Madball, which is Roger's little brother Freddie, that just came out this week, and that's basically Freddie, Roger's 12-year-old brother. He might have turned 13 by now, but he was 12 when he recorded it. He's singing, Vinny's playing guitar, Roger's playing bass, Will's playing drums, and they banged it out in like a couple hours at Donnie Fury, the studio where Victim in Pain was recorded. It's a 7-inch, and you know, a lot of people who've seen us live will recognize Freddie in an instant, you know. He's sort of like the band's mascot, you know. When school's out and Freddie's around, he comes with us on the road. And we got coming up an album from 24/7 Spies, band that opened for the Ramones here a couple weeks ago. And then after that, Sick of It All, Blood, Sweat, and No Tears album is coming out in like late May, early June, and same time Raw Deal, though they're going to have to be changing their name because there's a English blues rock, pub rock type band with the same name that just got signed to Atlantic or some major label, I think, that's suing them for the rights to the name. So I think they might just change the name to The Deal or something like that, or maybe one of their song titles. We'll see what happens.
Okay, why don't we give a listen to another cut from Agnostic Front. Here in the studio, Steve Martin, guitarist for the band. We're going to hear Liberty and Justice from Agnostic Front. Here on Turmoil, we'll be back talking some more with Steve.
Thank you.
90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook, Murphy's Law, Quest for Herb from their latest album, Back with a Bong. Before that, Agnostic Front gave us Liberty and Justice. Here in the studio, Steve Martin from Agnostic Front. And we've been talking a little bit about the band, a little bit about the new label in effect. And what have we got for us? You're talking about some new bands you're releasing?
Yeah, I brought a tape down here. It's a finished mix with a rough vocal. It's going to be what I think is going to be the lead track from the Sick of It All album. The title of the album is Blood, Sweat, and No Tears. And the title of the song is Injustice System. And it's basically, you know, Sick of It All, they don't need any introduction to the crowd around here. Basically, everyone in New York knows who they are. I mean, you know, that show, that last show that they played was a huge show, the Murphy's Law Underdog Sick of It All show. Before that, they played the Super Bowl of Hardcore, which sold out the old Ritz. And basically, you know, just a band that's been around for a while that, in effect, you know, saw some potential in and is deciding to release their first record.
Okay, we'll give a listen to that in just a second. I just want to ask you, though, a lot of the New York bands, it seems, formed for people like you and some of the small labels, they never get their material recorded. It seems a lot of bands are playing like CBs or the Ritz, and the only way you can really hear them is from their demo cassettes, things like that. It sort of, you know, kept the New York scene in the background, whereas the California or Europe, they put their stuff out right away.
Yeah, but then again, in a way, it's sort of good if you think about it, because you've got like bands like Sick of It All and Raw Deal who put out their demos and came to the interest of a label like In Effect that's really dedicated and has the proper distribution to do them justice, where you might have some bands in Europe and get them put out like some record on whatever, you know, Cheese Sandwich Records is going to come out and, you know, sell 1,000 in Europe and 500 in America, where it might be like some really good music and it could do a lot more. You know, I mean, if that, I'm not saying that everyone who you know, feels good about the music, wants to get around, has to sell whatever 25,000 copies of their album to justify putting it out. But, you know, there are bands who want to get around. I mean, obviously, if bands are putting out demo tapes and selling them at their shows and through mail and fanzines and whatever, they do want to get their stuff around. So,
do you think, here's a question that I'm going to try to trap you with. Do you think hardcore is becoming big business?
Yeah, well, the reality of the matter is business has invaded hardcore, and I don't know how else to put it. I mean, I suppose it's bad if you're a person, like, I'm not going to name any names or anything, but if you're a person who's doing it solely for business and just exploiting it, and when something else comes along, you're going to grab onto that. But I don't think you could say that about, like, the people that I work with, because they're all dedicated to it. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I work at In Effect. I mean, you know, I've got a college degree and stuff. I could go work at some major label or something and for a lot more money if that was where my head was at. But I'm doing this more out of a personal belief and a belief in these bands and their music than anything else. And if people, you know, last weekend I was at CB's and this kid was like handing out this flyer about how Profile sucks and In Effect sucks and Hawker sucks and all these big labels, so-called big labels, suck because they're big business invading hardcore and blah 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 blah. First of all, you know, I bet if this kid's band was like offered a contract with one of these labels, they'd probably jump at it. That's first of all. Second of all, like, if it weren't for some of these people, like say us, these bands, I mean, you need the money. Like, once you get out of mom's house, you need money to survive. You need to put food in your mouth. If your equipment breaks down, you need some other way of replacing it than waiting for Christmas to come around again and getting another Marshall head from your mom and dad. I mean, the reality is that, like, some bands just, you know, are pretty self-sufficient and they need some sort of backer to get where they want to go. And that's like, that's pretty harsh reality, but that's the way it is. And if it, you know, topples some kids' sandcastles, that's too bad, you know. But then again, I don't really think that we're exploiting anybody or anything. We take what we need to get to the next step, to get to the next city, to get to the next record, so on and so forth. I mean, these kids, you remember, like, when they complain, oh, all the good bands are gone, the bands that started all, like, whoever, whether they're talking about Minor Threat or SSD or Dead Kennedys, they should keep in mind that the reason that a lot of those bands did go under is because they just didn't have the money to keep their heads afloat. You know, they would, in a time when there wasn't the money to go around, and they just fell apart because they had to go back to their steady jobs. You know, they left home, they started going to school or going to work or whatever, got families to support. They just couldn't do it because they were getting ripped off. I mean, we've tried to go that independent route with, you know, oh, we'll let our friends book the shows, we'll only play this hall or do this or do that. We ended up getting ripped off, you know. At one point, you gotta, you know, you can really, you know that you can really, like, keep track of agencies that have actual offices and actual phone numbers and are actually going to be there a month later when you come off tour with the deposits they're taking. It's just a necessary evil, and we deal with it from, you know, on a daily basis. I mean, it's not like we haven't, like, broken relations with any of the so-called big companies either. We've had our share of problems, but, I mean, some people don't need the financial support. They have it coming from somewhere else. Some people do. And that's just the way it is.
Okay, Steve Martin from Agnostic Front here in the studios. We've got a pre-release, I guess, of the Sick of It All album, and this is Injustice System.
Yep.
Sick of It All here on Turmoil. We'll be back. .1 FM Turmoil, Sick of It All. Thanks. And that's a tune called Injustice System, pre-release of their soon-to-be-released album on
In Effect
Records.
Blood, Sweat, and No Tears.
Okay, why don't you
use Blood, Sweat, and No Tears.
Make sure you get your tape back. Thanks for coming in. Right now we're going to play another song from Agnostic Front. This is from the Live at CB's album, and this is Public Assistance, which has caused some controversy through some of the major names, especially here at SUNY Stony Brook about a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's like a cross we have to bear.
Yeah, it seems anybody with anything to say always has some kind of comment against the Agnostic Front, whether it be true or not. Why don't you just explain the real basis of this song?
You know, the real basis of that misunderstanding is Jello Biafra's being so far removed from hardcore for so long, so far removed from any kind of reality whatsoever for so long. That's where the misunderstanding centers around. But I could really care less about that. I mean, that's so long since that's been buried. I mean, you know, there's not like we're even going to cross paths again ever in this life. Even though we did a new music seminar last year, but
do you think it's popular for other bands to just, you know, if they want to make a name for themselves or they want to get some publicity just to pick on your band?
Hell yeah.
It's like free publicity. Let's just,
oh, it works really well for these bands. Like the, just like that flyer I was talking about before about the anti-InEffect, anti-every band on InEffect profile Hawker flyer. But the thing with Public Assistance, the song is basically about, you know, I didn't write it, but I definitely stand behind what it says as a full-time working tax-paying citizen. And what it says is cut off welfare to the recipients who squander it, who use it as an excuse not to work when they're perfectly capable of working, who birth more kids that they're not caring for or caring about so they can get a larger check, and who use it to, you know, buy drugs and cut that up and stretch the money into more and more money. Meanwhile, you know, at night they're healthy enough to wash my windshield on the Bowery, but they're not healthy enough to load boxes in a factory. I mean, I see like a good third of my check every week going to taxes, and like part of that goes towards the welfare state. And I'm not saying it should be cut entirely, because there are a lot of people who need that money and who would die if it weren't for that money. But I think it should be cut off to its abusers, and that's basically who this song targets: drug addicts, welfare abusers, people like that. And if any of those people have an issue with this song, it's too bad, because it's lashing out against them.
Now, Ronald Reagan's gone out of the presidency. We got a sort of a clone here in George Bush.
Mm.
How does I'm sure you talk with the other members of the band. How did you guys feel election night when Bush won?
Pretty skeptical. What can you say? I mean, I was feeling totally blank personally, because to me, it really doesn't signify any kind of difference, this one change. I mean, it's just, the only difference is the face, that to me. I mean, I didn't even bother voting this year. I mean, what kind of choice did I have?
Right. Okay, why don't we give a listen to Public Assistant from Agnostic Front here on Turmoil. We were going to have an interview with Fugazi. We're going to reschedule that because words of wisdom.
we'll
be playing that in 2 weeks. Right now, let's give a listen to Agnostic Front. Public Assistant here on Turmoil.